This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, August 10th. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today's show is sponsored by the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. You can win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. All you need to do is have your passport. Just get a National Guardian newspaper, of course, and fill out the entry form. Drop it in the entry box at the National Guardian in Oaksfield. You know where that is. That's where I'm at. And tune in to the Guardian Radio and follow the National Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. But of course, I got to make sure you know that the deadline is on August 12th. Today is August 10th. The deadline is August 12th. So let's count that. Today is the 10th, which is Monday. 11th, which is Tuesday. So you have until Wednesday. Yes, you have until Wednesday to come to the Nassau Guardian and drop your entry form in. Of course, you got to tune in to the Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. That's the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. The deadline, again, is August 12th. And, of course, the drawing is on the 14th. So let's count that. So that's Wednesday is the 12th. The 13th is on Thursday. So by Friday, you know if you could be traveling. That's Friday. You can know if you could be traveling. So it ain't too late. Today, you come to the Guardian and drop off your entry form and move on. Today, right, I came across a story. It's a true story. It's an incident that is happening now. It's a real-time incident that is happening now. And it happened to a friend of mine. And it's a, I don't know if harrowing is the right vocabulary word to use, but I'm not going to give any context to it. I'm just going to read the story because it's worth reading, particularly because the person, like I say, is a friend of mine's, and I wanted his story to be told, right? So let me start with that. And bear with me, right? It starts. It's a Facebook post that he posted about what's happening with him. He said, I was going to wait a little longer before writing this, but somehow I felt compelled to share it today. On April 23rd, in the heat of election, I had a wisdom tooth removed. What I believe would be a routine procedure quickly became an ordeal that almost cost me my life. For weeks after the initial surgery, I knew something was wrong. What began with pain and swelling soon became a persistent discomfort and changes in my mouth that I could neither ignore nor fully explain. I kept hoping that with time, things would improve, but it didn't. Weeks earlier, my father had suggested that I travel to see our dentist in Florida. However, I continue seeking follow-up treatment in Nassau, hoping the problem could be resolved at home. When things failed to improve, I finally decided to seek a second opinion and travel to Florida for further medical attention. We packed for a one-day trip and even left the car in short-term parking on June 1. I expected to be examined, given some answers, and back home that evening with a routine solution. But that was not the hand I was dealt. One minute for me as I find the rest of the story. I expected to be examined, given some answers, and back home that evening with a routine solution, but that was not the hand I was dealt. That one-day trip turned into an entire week in the hospital. At the appointment, the dentist took a 3D panoramic scan of my mouth, a scan that would change my life forever. I remember walking into the private office and seeing the image displayed on a large monitor. Right there on the screen was a complete broken jaw. Never in a million years I have imagined that a broken jaw had anything to do with me. But the image was mine. More than a broken jaw, the scan revealed something even more serious. I had developed a in the bones of my mouth. The situation was so urgent that I was sent to the hospital, admitted, and prepared for emergency surgery. I was advised that had I waited only a few more days, the infection would have entered my bloodstream with potentially life-threatening consequences. This is something I am still trying to process and will probably still be trying to process years from now. Within hours, I went from searching for answers to being admitted and preparing for a four-hour emergency operation to reach the infected area and repair the damage. The surgeon had to enter through my neck. They made an incision along my neck where they would treat and repair my mouth using plates and screws on June 2nd. There was nothing that could have prepared me for that moment or for the weeks and months that followed. There was the pain, the swelling, and the uncertainty. There was also the difficult reality of looking in the mirror and barely recognizing myself. At times, I felt afraid, overwhelmed, and emotionally exhausted. There was also the difficult reality that I may have never seen my family again had things not gone the way they should have. But I finally realized that there are things we often take for granted. We don't realize how blessed we are to be able to speak clearly, to eat, to smile, and sleep comfortably. Well, they all suddenly became difficult for me. But beneath my fears, God was above. There is no way possible that God was not working through my magnificent maxillofacial surgery team, through the around-the-clock nurses who cared for me, and through the friends we made at the hospital who treated my father and I as though they had known us for our entire lives. I am extremely grateful to God for showing up and showing me just how real he is. This experience reminded me that life can change without warning. One day you are going about your normal routine. The next, you are being told that you were only days away from medical crisis that would have ended very differently. I am still healing, physically and emotionally. Recovery has not been easy, and some of the effects may remain with me for a long time. But I am here. I am alive. I now understand more deeply than ever that simply waking up each morning is a blessing. Being able to eat is a blessing. Being able to walk, even being able to smile, is a blessing. I am not sharing this for sympathy. This is possibly the last thing I need. I'm sharing this story because I want to show you the goodness of God. You could be on your way out and he'll snatch you right back. My story is not over. This is simply the chapter in which I learned just how fragile and how precious life truly is. And this is written by Osano Neely. I know that a number of you know the name Osano Neely. He was one of those musical prodigies some years ago who attended QC. He got a scholarship by Sir Durwood, and he pursued his education there. and part of the National Youth Choir, part of the National Children's Choir. Sometimes he was political. His father was a captain in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. All around good guy, right? He would pride himself with his looks. Handsome guy, short, but handsome, good-looking guy. Just recently had a baby. Pride in his joy. Every minute he's taking pictures of him and his baby, right? And to know that during the political season where he's usually very active, he just went quiet, right? Which is strange, but since he worked for government and things, these things happened, right? And he posted a picture of himself with a scar. Remember, he's a decently looking guy. He could model, right? And this scar cut from the jaw all the way to the end of his neck. A centipede type scar, right? He went to the dentist to get a teeth pulled. That's it. That happens routinely, often. That's a regular thing. And as he was getting his teeth removed, something happened. Something happened where his jaw shattered. He didn't know. Nobody told him. He just knew that he was in pain, had a lot of painkillers. And he went to the dentist repeatedly. Man, this ain't feel right. My mouth don't feel right. Constant pain. Pain kills again and again. And he said, you know what? I go into the States because this ain't right. And he went to the States and they decided to give him an x-ray, whatever they do at these medical facilities. And he then realized that his jaw was broken. And that all those times he's going back and forth to the dentist was prolonging or adding to his ailment, that if he had waited any longer, his entire mouth was going to be septic. That he had a chance of dying. That he came close to death. And it was so urgent that the doctor there said, no, man, you need to go to surgery now. This mouth, toxic. You need to go to surgery now. And they cut him. Air to air. From his jaw and all the way under his neck. Huge scar. In order to fix his jaw. That was broken. From getting his teeth pulled. That nobody noticed. As he posts the story, a number of people recant stories of other people who had something similar but died. Said he was lucky. They were concerned for him. His friends who knew who he was, how active he is, learning to talk and whatever it is, knowing that he was, in quote, a pretty boy. Seeing the scar on his neck. Their friend, who's almost died, they're still dealing with it. Like, how do you say not stare at your friend? These are the things that is happening. These are things that are happening inside the Bahamas by one or two of our professionals that we got to look into. That we got to deal with. I'm not sure what he's doing, where this story is going, but I wish Usano Neely all the best as he recovers. Wish him all the best as he recovers. Okay, I came across a Facebook post that I wanted to discuss, which can be basically my entire besides being hot. I had a poem I was going to read, but I ain't going to do that no more. I'm going to stick to the Facebook post. And I want your opinion on it. I'm going to read it. Is it by, again, an intellectual? An intellectual who professor, he's a pundit, and I believe that he's a pundit. He's a smart guy, right? He's doing a number of critique of the opposition, and I want to know if his critiques, because I read one of his critique last week, and I want to know if critique is warranted, one, and I want to know whether his recommendation, two, is something that Bohemians should embrace, right? And the post goes as this. An active opposition requires daily accountability through a full-time shadow AG. That's the first statement. I want us something that I want us to consider. I'm going to reread that again and go through every point. I'm going to reiterate it, right? An active opposition requires daily accountability through a full-time shadow AG and a full-time shadow minister of finance who are backed by technical experts, transparent crowd funding for those services. I was cool with all of that note until I read the part transparent crowdfunding for those services, because I wasn't sure what he mean crowdfunding. Because it sounded like I got to pay for it, and I got defensive on the whole post after that. It continues. An active opposition requires daily accountability through a full-time shadow AG and a full-time shadow minister of finance who are backed by technical experts, transparent crowdfunding for those services, legal and investigative resources, and aggressive use of the courts via judicial review to challenge unlawful government actions outside of an election cycle. Did everyone get that? I can talk about that soon. If he continues, if 50,000 people, including those who support the FNM and those who wish to see good governance in our country, cannot be persuaded to contribute $1 million monthly towards those efforts, let someone else do the persuading. And that's what the conversation is about today. I want to hear your opinion on that. I know it's a big topic, but sometimes you got to have these intellectual type of conversations, especially when people pontificating. Especially when people pontificating, and I say, I know, I see. Let's go with the first critique. I believe the opposition, the official opposition, the Free National Movement, needs help. They prove to be challenged. Some people say that they are reactive instead of being proactive when it comes to opposing the government or keeping the government in check. There are some people who say, man, this opposition complain too much. But you mean that they need to do more, that these people just oppose for opposing's sake? But then some people say, no, there are a number of things that our government is doing that should be constitutionally challenged, that the government is abusing their mandate for the people. And this poster is saying that the people of the Bahamas should do some sort of crowdfunding in order to facilitate that the opposition, and I assume by the official, it's official opposition, should facilitate that they have a attorney general, shadow attorney general, and a shadow minister of finance, and see where it is, who are backed by technical experts. This is where I got concerned. So I said, what you mean by backed by technical experts? Because technical experts come with a price tag. They don't work for free. the shadow ministers, he might work for free because they have political ambition and they can speak on certain topics. One critique I have with the official opposition is it seems like only the leader wants to speak. They have a little shadow here and there, no. But the leader, Mr. Pintat, seems to be the primary one who's speaking, and he seemed to be the minister, a minister of everything, right? This going, but besides the technical experts, it says transparent crowdfunding. I wasn't sure what they mean by transparent crowdfunding for those services, because it sounds like he's asking the public. Now, mind you, there's a public purse that's supposed to be paying for all of this, because they have what that grouping is when they review everything in the House of Assembly. But I got a text here. Let me read this text, right? So they have all of that. The FNM issued their extensive list of shadow cabinet ministers recently. And everyone is speaking now. Example, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, Kwesi Thompson, Michaela, didn't give Michael last name, Adrian Fox, Andrew Rollins, and Dr. Sands. And so there's more people speaking. That's what that text is saying. I have this caller here. Let's brace this caller as I go through all of this again. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Caller, you live. Adrian White. That's the name. Go ahead, caller, you live. Caller, I can hear you. It echoing. So you're live. Call a girl once. Calling girl in twice.
Hello?
Hello, you're live. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. See, I couldn't hear you. Good. Hey, good afternoon, morning. See, how you doing?
Doing well. Doing well.
You know, I agree to an extent to what the poster said. You know, just the other day I was thinking about the constituency allowances, what they call the capital fund, whatever it's right. When the Prime Minister increased that fund by an additional $50,000 a year, he said that this fund would be audited by every year by the Auditor General. Now, is what the Prime Minister says, does that become law? Is that a law?
I know what. Look where you're trying to bait me. No, not what the premise is automatically law.
The $50,000 came into effect, right?
Mm.
They are getting the extra $50,000, okay? That was part of what he said, but the other part, okay? So, and we need to challenge this government on these things. You know, as he said that this fund will be audited every year.
Yeah.
And so the opposition or the people or the constituency or whoever it is need to take these members of parliament who are getting these monies and they are spending it, God knows how, with no accountability. And according to the law, this fund is supposed to be audited, you know, and if the government is not carrying out its duty, it should be sued for dereliction of duties.
Let's talk about that. What do you mean sue for dereliction of duties, and who will bring up that case?
I mean, you know, the government in the U.S., they are taken to court, like, you know, all the time. People bring about, if the president makes a ruling or that is really contrary or whatever, whether against, they are taken to court. And the court decides whether there's a case to be answered or not. But we are afraid to seem to challenge this government and to take them to court. I think the only person who I think have the gumption to do so or challenge the government on certain issues was Fred Smith, but I don't hear nothing about him no more. But we need somebody to stand up and to challenge whether the things that are laws. We have so many laws that the government says and that and the government refuses to obey the very laws that they pass. And that's why Mr. Fred Smith is a millionaire today.
But let's pause there and have this discussion, since I don't have anybody on the line, right? And Mr. Fred Smith is still active, but he's kind of quiet now. And personal life. Last time I heard, he had a skiing accident, and after that, he just gone quiet after that. In the Bahamas, we have loads of cases, King's Counsels. So we have competent attorneys that exist. But we have few attorneys who take it upon themselves to say, right now what is happening is unconstitutional, and I think I'm duty-bound to do a judicial review. Mm-hmm. What does that say about the legal fraternity?
Well, it tells me that either they don't have the cojones, or they afraid that they may be blacklisted or something like that, or you know, they afraid that, oh, if I take a stand, you know, what's going to happen? Oh, we live in a small society and so forth. I may not get this government contract. And so you need somebody. We need somebody like David, man, who said when Goliath came up against them, is there not a cause in Israel? Is there nothing that we can stand for? You see, if we don't challenge this government, the government will continue to do what they do, you know. They will continue to say, oh, man, they just can beat up their mouth on the radio and whatnot. Ain't nothing going to happen. And they will continue to do what they're doing to us until we decide that, like I think Brad, that the power in the people is greater than the people that is in power, and the government will feel the might of the people. You know, like in India, when they had this, there was something to do with education system. Man, and it was the young people. They formed the Cockroaches Party, and they demonstrated. They did what they had to do until the minister had to resign, and the prime minister had to capitulate. He had to give in to the demands that they were seeking. No, but see, man, we are so passive, you know, and you know, there's no accountability. All of these things that we don't know if we get the $120 million yet for the grant. We don't even know if the grant Luca in Seoul or not. You know, we don't know. We don't know nothing. But like Mr. Alfred Gray said, I guess as long as Bahamians are working and, you know, they could pay their bills, they could go to Miami, they could go this way, they really don't care what the government does. They don't care. I mean, I could pay my bills. I mean, we get mad when BPL turned off our lights and we can't win. So, but once the lights stay on and you work into Bahama, you work into Atlantis and you're making your money and your whatnot, you can pay your bills and do the average person don't really care what the government does, you know.
And I appreciate you, and I want you to listen some more. And in case you need a call back, I want to talk about that. Thanks very much, caller. Once people are working, Bahamians don't complain. This texter says, see, I agree with the texter. All of the opposition members are vocal on national issues, especially Dr. Rawlings. Is the official opposition vocal enough? Are they doing an adequate job to say they're holding the government accountable? But the poster on social media is bemoaning the point that if the FNM fails to do what they need to, let someone else do the persuading. Now, listen to this part where I was concerned. It said, if 50,000 people, that means Bahamians, including those who support the FNM and those who wish to see good governance in our country, cannot be persuaded to contribute $1 million monthly toward those efforts, let someone else do the persuading. And I'm not sure if someone can persuade me to contribute to this. My money gone paid the taxes. And if you can't take it out of the public purse what I already and budget it out of the money there, you can't be asking me to give more money. Recently, we budgeted money for Beaches and Park. And they spent an extra $140,000 overruns $140,000. Overruns. $140,000. Anyway, the point is the money, extra money spent. I know, I see the opposition still not pushing the issue. That $140 million. Someone text me and correct, it's $140 million. I think it's $140 million. $140,000 don't sound like much. But my point is, the opposition seem to have forgotten that that happened. And they are busy running on saying they people got let go or bullied instead of concentrating that there was an overrun for $140 million. That's the main issue. Why the woman felt bullied inside and decided to quit her job, that's backbench type thing. I'm not really know at this present time. But that $140 million, I'm very much concerned with that. And they seem to have forgotten that. So I'm not sure if they're doing a good job. This hotel that being sold, where they had the bulldozer knock the window down and then repaired it afterwards and said the hotel sold. How come they're not talking about that? Is it sold or not? I'm not quite sure if the opposition is doing an adequate job. And I don't see why this text is asking me that I need to do a fundraiser. They said a crowd, an open crowdfunding fundraiser to donate. Should we be paying the official opposition more money out of the public purse to challenge the government? That would be better democracy. The poster mentioned that they need to have a shadow agent. The FNM has a shadow agent. They say they need to have a shadow minister of finance. They have a shadow minister of finance. But the key thing he asked, they backed by technical experts. Is it that this poster is trying to say that the budget for the opposition needs to be expanded? He even goes as far as legal and investigative resources. And the proponent that we need to have more judicial reviews. I think we do need to have more judicial reviews. This money with the sovereign wealth fund or the investment fund and it being moved and we got to wait because of delay and say, wait till someone come and explain it. I have a problem with it. I mean, I want the information now. I want to know how come the money was transferred and who transferred the money. What happened to the committee that's supposed to be established? Is that established as yet? And you don't tell me wait when the money then transferred and then tell me it's for the airport when the national budget, the consolidated fund, supposed to be financing the airport. And I want to know if this investment fund is supposed to have a return that it comes back into the investment fund. How am I going to get this money back with profit? Or there's no profit involved in the investment fund. The profit is that socially we are better off. And then explain it to me. Say, man, you don't get no money back, right, to invest more things, but we now have assets. And the assets that we have now is the payout. But someone needs to explain that to me sooner than later. See, this text says, CA, what do y'all want the opposition to do? Only 5 people in there and only 2 is talk. It's only so much they can do. We, the people, have to stand up for ourselves. And I agree. I have had several shows where I said we, the people, need to be the opposition and be reminded that the government is our employees and we need to hold them accountable. This next text says, Nuri, your PLP party and my party of old don't care about none of this. They keep deflecting. They don't answer no questions. They lie on someone else. What is there for the opposition to do? They are going legal as well. Our country is corrupt. All the people they can do to are the PLP assigned operatives. I hear you, Texter. I can take a commercial break just for that. Just so I could soak that in to find out exactly what you're trying to say. Guardian Radio AM, we'll be right back.
See how poor her eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me? I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
No budget for a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Con, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Con, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Con, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Con, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game, so put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive, in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's C.A. Nuri, and it's 11:45. It knows 11:45. It's all Percy's Island Games, right? Okay, I want to say attention, Island Game players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. You hear that? So you deposit a mere $25, and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. You hear that, right? That's $1,000 a week for up to a full year. So your applications close on September 8th, which is soon. That's less than a month ago. Went away. Apply now through theislandgame.com. I'd like to remind you that this is a promotional gaming campaign and is not an insurance policy, a pension fund, a retirement savings plan, investing product, or other regulated financial service. I got to make sure people understand that. But I'm continuing my conversation because the poster on social media is critiquing the official opposition. And I want to know, is it warranted, whether the opposition is doing an adequate job being the official opposition, or they need help? This is what they post. the day before, continuing their posting about the official opposition, said the Bahamas needs an official opposition that would use all of the tools available in our democracy to hold the government to account. Issuing press statements is not the only tool at its disposal. So I mentioned that more is being asked of the official opposition, and this post is saying that this press release and press statements is not enough. Is not. Then I remember seeing the official opposition in front of parks and beaches protesting, and I was saying, this can't be what the poster meant, that they need to be protesting some more. Especially when you're only getting 12 and 30 at your 12 to 13 people showing up at your demonstration. That's not a sign of strength. It goes, the poster goes on by saying, calling the official opposition name. Said, Mr. Pintad and his entire parliamentary team should immediately resign if they are unwilling to or unable to do better. They should allow others to do what they are not. I had a problem with the last statement. They should allow others to do what they can do, right? Others like who? Others like who? Can't be COI. I mean, COI going kind of quiet. They don't even do live on Sunday no more. Live at 8. They stopped that. They're on pause. Let's read this text. It said the opposition was very active in the last 5 years. It's the people who didn't give a 5 cents. Now people are acting flicking brand new. But it's strange how people would ask for accountability from the opposition but would revel in the filth of the government. Let's go to the caller here as I go through these texts so I can read them and prepare to read them for you. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hello?
You're live. Go ahead.
Yes. I have a problem with your statement this morning.
What statement was that?
The opposition is doing enough, right? My thing is, so many things is going on with this present administration, right? And everybody is so quiet about it. I think you need to elaborate on what the government is not doing, right? I think that's what you need to elaborate.
Let's talk with that.
Elaborate on.
Let's talk with
not
that.
Not the opposition.
Let's talk with that, because I have a text right as you say that saying, why focus on the opposition?
Yeah. Why focus on the opposition and the government and this thing with the MP number one that still haven't been answered yet, right? Come on, man. Stop being biased.
Me? I ask him questions.
Stop being biased.
But I ask him questions too. I saw the post and I said, let's go and have a conversation on whether the opposition is doing enough. Are you going already, caller? So let's have a conversation on that. The government has a large majority. They are doing what they say they can do. And they're explaining what they claim they say they are doing. And only one set of people in the parliament who's able to challenge the government. That's the opposition. We could say talk show host. We could challenge the government too, if that's the answer. However, the opposition is in as part of the government. It's checks and balances. They have the PAC, which I'm not a part of. I mean, they could put me there if they want to. I know how much they pay. But I'm not a part of the PAC. The opposition is a part of the PAC. And if we need to keep the government in check, shouldn't I ask, is the opposition doing enough keeping the government in check? Should I take on the mantle saying, okay, I give up on the opposition. They ain't doing it, so I now need to lead the charge and start protesting and challenging the opposition. It's supposed to be my job now. They have a whole team. The MPs are there, they're getting paid, the five or the six of them. The leader of opposition is there, get a separate salary from being an MP. He's there. They have the PAC and all those other instruments within the system where they could put the government in check. And then people asking whether I should ask if the opposition is doing enough. Are they doing enough? Do you feel satisfied? You're watching the government do what they do. You watching them not explain, because I still concerned about this investment fund. I kind of paranoid and terrified. I still want to know about $140 million. I think I'm getting the correct number now. The $140 million at Beaches and Park overrun. And I want to know, are they still asking that question? Or they move on for that? Or they move on and they talking about the lady in HR who's being bullied. That's more important to them than $140 million overrun at Beaches and Park. How come they ain't asking that buddy to still resign? I still asking for him to resign. Because I used to want to know, would he spend $140 million on? What about the hotel in Grand Bahama? The thing about BPL and this light thing, the power grid, right? The Bahama power grid. The questions they asked him is after the blackout. Man, that place was collapsing from long time. The roads was bad from long time. I'm just saying that they seem to be reactive in terms of how they manage. How they managing the opposition. Okay, let's see what it is. All the people in the positions you can go to and file an investigation or complaint are PLP assigned operatives. And that might be concerning. There are people who would say that the PLP has stacked the deck all around, that they put their people in places where you have to go, where you ever go complain and ask for checks and balances. All of them are known supporters of the government. That you have no way of complaining to get answers. And that's what the PAC, Public Accounts Committee, was complaining about. They got to wait to get answers. Let's read, this says, the people had a free opportunity to bring this government to account on May 12th, but y'all were happy not knowing about your $141 million. And I can tell the texters again, I want you to talk about yourself. Don't promote me, people. If you voted PLP, texter, say you voted PLP and now you happy. But don't talk about how I vote. How I vote is how I vote. And how you vote is what you're supposed to be talking about. Talk about how you vote. And that whether you are happy about what's going on. And if you are happy with what's going on, say, Nuri, I'm happy with what's going on. But I bring in the questions to you. This texter say, CA, I don't understand what the people want the opposition to do. When they have been asking questions in Parliament officially for 5 years and no answers forthcoming from the government, the former Attorney General instructed the permanent secretaries not to appear. The PAC was powerless to send for persons and papers. The deck is stacked all around with government-appointed supporters. So what can the opposition do? So that's the theme. Then. What can the opposition do? Sound like a recitation type poem. What a poor boy can do to serve his country. My stepfather used to say a poem similar to that. What can a poor boy do? Let's see what else texted here. Says, yes, the FNM is sounding the alarm on issues, but the government is a government unto them, their own. They don't answer questions, and when they do, they let Latre respond with hogwash. But yet, this what the people voted for, no accountability or transparency. There are a number of people who getting tired of Mr. Latre rapping. I like him. He's a smart gentleman. I always critique him when I have a chance because he does a lot of social media posting. I still be concerned about the social media posting that he does. I'm not sure who I am responding to. Am I responding to Mr. Latre ramming citizen of the Bahamas, Mr. Latre ramming senator, Mr. Latree Raman, leader of the women them. Apparently, he is now the leader of the women them. He represents all women inside the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and their issues. Or Mr. Latree Raman, the senator, or Mr. Latree Raman, the director of communication. All seems to be inside this big pot mix-up. And I tend to get confused because they all use the same social media page. It all. Women, that leader of the women them, talking about the women them issue, at the same time talking about BPL. And I said, man, I don't know what I read, man. I confuse. So they need to fix that. Have certain social media page for certain things. So I always critique that. I always asking who's speaking now, right? And Mr. Latree Raman respond with hogwash. Is what Mr. Raman saying hogwash? What he's saying believable? How come the ministers are no longer speaking? That Raman is the only sole person responding. Him and chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Right? I see a getting text, but I can't see the text on this. So if I didn't read it, that means I couldn't see it. Let me go through. Okay, I read that one already. It's this one reminder that said the decks are stacked. This one mentioning that we had a free chance to vote the Progressive Liberal Party out. This one saying that all of the people in positions to explain things are PLP operatives. This one saying the FNM are responding, sound the alarm. And then that's going back to the text there. Let's close that out so I can get all of that read. One time. But yes, moving forward, we need to understand exactly what is happening. If you are comfortable with what the opposition is doing, then congratulate them and push them forward and help them as much as you can. If you believe the opposition is just complaining for complaining's sake, some people say they oppose for opposing's sake, right? Then we need to express that, right? So this one said, Nuri COI never stopped their Sunday live at 5 p.m. up to last evening. They were voicing their opinion. Same like Mr. Bean, only one talk about lock up in the United States, who was flying that plane and the plane crashed, whatever. That's all they want to talk about. When Mr. Lincoln Bean talk hard to the opposition to do their job, everyone raised up against him. They have the PAC, but not using the power. There is no opposition other than the COI. I'm not sure if the COI is actually an opposition. I'm just saying. Some people have them as entertainment and an interrupter of sensible thought. Okay, let's read this one. Okay, that one is not me. But I'll close with that. I will close with that. I saw a number of critique of the opposition. I wanted to bring it forward to see what the people them were talking about. I see a number of detectors saying, no, the opposition is doing an adequate job. It's that we, the Bahamian people, need to do more regarding such. And if that is the case, I'll go on social media and remind the poster that, no, the opposition is adequate. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a good day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.